talking about the Warriors, or your experience with the Warriors, I wanted to ask you about your mother's job at the Veterans Hospital specifically. She moved out here, she took a job at the Veterans Hospital. I'd like to know what she did. And
well, at one time, I think she was in the psychiatric ward because she seemed to have a lot of problems, but just general, I don't know whether she ever got nursing license or whether she was just a nursing aide, but she worked in there with the sick people, and she seemed to like it. She got a little frightened sometimes with the psychiatric ward, I think, but she used to come home and tell us about her experiences there. But she liked it. She worked there quite a number of years. I right up here at, what street is that? I'm right here in West Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. They had the whole, well, I don't know whether they moved much of it or not. They did move some of it, I guess. But most of it, I think, is still there. Yeah, she worked there, oh, goodness sakes, maybe 15 years or maybe more. Even. She worked there a long time. And she liked it. She always liked sick people. In fact, she used to, I remember her working up here in Redondo Beach taking care of, in fact, I think it was one of the mayors or city councilman's wife that was very elderly, and she in fact, all there toward the left, she stayed around, you know, she lived right in there and took care of her, you know, nursing her and everything. She liked that sort of thing, she really did. But I don't remember too much about her experiences up at the Veterans Hospital. I just remember she was there for a long time. And she did like to take care of sick people. Got some more questions for me?
Got a few.
I'm too tired to remember. I drove my car over 2,000 miles in 6 days, and it's kind of tiring.
Remember how you first learned that there were defense jobs? You were already living in town.
I was trying to remember whether I was working there before the war actually started, and I really can't remember. I was trying real hard to decide whether I was there before, you know, just before already working there.
The date that I have on the phone interview was 1942.
Well, she'd probably be more accurate than I am. I would give anybody credit for remembering better than me. Then possibly, maybe they started hiring in anticipation. I remember working for Fitch Shampoo Company. I don't remember what period that was in. I just remember that real well because evidently we were kind of inexperienced, or else maybe they used to come on a conveyor belt, and we would get behind and the bottles of shampoo would start popping up and hitting the ceiling. Now, I didn't stay there too long, but I do remember working there. I really don't remember what it was, you know, months or maybe how long it was. And I really don't remember exactly when I went to work. I think I went to work at Lockheed first, if I remember correctly. And then from Lockheed, I know I was working, I think I was working at Douglas over here when the war ended. Or maybe I was working there when President Roosevelt died. I don't remember. But I, you know, moved around between Douglas and Lockheed. And then after the war, I worked at Hughes for quite a number of years. Of course, that was, you know, not necessarily war-oriented, I guess.
Do you remember what the process was of getting hired at Lockheed?
Well, I don't remember it being very difficult. I sure don't. I remember you had to take a physical. I think they made you strip, and that didn't appeal to me too much. I couldn't see why you'd have to strip off naked to work in a war plant. But I guess I did it, because I did it if everybody else did. Really don't. I just remember being there. I don't even remember how many years I worked at which place or whatever, but.
Did they send you to training school? before you...
No, I'm sure it was on the job training. I'm sure it was. I said, I remember we just went right in there and went to work and do this and do that, and you just learned as you went along. That's the way I remember it. Now, I could be remembering wrong. I took some kind of a course, though, because we made a tin cup, but that was on my own. That was after hours, I guess. Trade Tech down here in Los Angeles. I remember we made a tin cup. In fact, I used to carry that around with me. Well, actually, it wasn't a tin cup, I guess. It was probably made out of some kind of metal anyway. You know, you had to draw the little plan, the blueprint, and lay it out, and then cut your stuff from that and make it, which I guess it taught us something. I don't know. Mine was kind of a sloppy-looking mess, but so were some of the others. And why we did that, I don't remember that either, but we did. We went through that. But I don't know whether it had anything to do with the job or not. Maybe it did. I don't know. But I don't remember any special training on the job. Everybody seemed to adapt and adjust to the work, although it was something different, you know, that I'm sure myself and most of the other people there had never done before. I had never worked in that type of work before, and I would say probably more than 50% of the people, that would be men and women, because they hired everybody. Of course, they had more women because I guess all the fellows were in the service. And maybe I think being wartime, it was a sad time too. You kind of blot and try to shut a lot of that out because it was no fun and games, that's for sure.
What was your motivation for taking a job at Lockheed rather than staying in whatever job you were in?
Well, it probably paid more money. I'm sure it did because I had a real good... Well, I don't know. I disagree with that because I think a lot of people... I know this girl at one of the girls that lived with us and worked with us. She was a real good secretary. I don't know, she may even have been trained for a teacher, because I know later on she did that long after the war years. She taught retarded children. She did went back to school and got some kind of special degree for that. But we were patriotic. That was the thing to do, was to go work in the water plant. You know, we... They had all kind of slogans, and people really believed in that. And I would say, I don't recall that I had any kind of a big paying job that I gave up to go in there. I really don't think I did, because I can remember having a lot of different types of jobs. I may have been working with a shampoo popping off the belt at the time I went over there. I really don't know. I had so many different jobs, they all kind of run together there. But even though I know people that did have other jobs, did it as a patriotic. It was your duty, you know, you had to serve your country sense, sort of thing. And I know this girl felt that way. She could have made more money in the job she had, you know. And some people came, you know, left their home and came to California to work in the war plant. So. And I don't think the pay was really that good, because they were not, there was no union. At that time, I remember when I first went into Lockheed, they formed a union. There was this, he was about 18 or 19 years old, this young fella. And I know he was married, and they just had a new baby. And he was the organizer out there. He got us all stirred up. And from time to time, I served as a shop steward and this and that. I was always very active in the union. But I can remember that now. Whether that was right when the war first started or after I've been working there a couple of years, I really don't know. I don't remember. It doesn't. But I remember him very well because he was so young and so enthusiastic, and he kind of made the rest of us ashamed, I guess, because I wasn't exactly old then either. But I certainly was over 18 or 19. But we had those meetings at night, which was hard to get people to come to at first, but they became unionized. I'm sure the pay got better, although I don't remember what. I couldn't give you any idea as to what the weekly pay was there. I just can't remember. I do remember, though, and that was quite a bit later, $100 a week was considered real good money. Now, I don't remember which time period that was in. I can remember back that I was trying to get up to $100 a week because that would seem to be, you know, that's where it was at. And if I remember right, we weren't paying income tax when we first started working in there. Then that shop came later and got worse every year. But I do remember, I don't know when they started. Maybe the income tax was not down to the level of income that we were making. I don't recall how that was. I'm sure there must have been some kind of income tax all along. But I never made enough money to find out what what the minimum was for to start paying it. But we did, you know, they did start. In fact, I'm sure they held out Social Security because Social Security came before that. But I don't believe there was health benefits or things like that either. I really don't think so. I think that all came after the union, and I'm sure there was some kind of health hospital or sick benefits of some kind.
You said you'd never done that kind of work before. I'm wondering how it felt
to go into it. Well, I had always worked with my hands. It wasn't a newer thing to me as it was to some of the other ladies. I grew up on a farm, and goodness sakes, we did a little bit of everything. It really wasn't that strange a thing, because some of the work was, there were no limits like now, you know, women could lift such and such. That all came, so many pounds, it all came later because you did just get in there and do whatever. It was kind of hard for, I guess, women that have never worked heavy work or anything like that before. But like I say, we used to plow and dig ditches and build sheds and all that sort of thing, so it really wasn't that strange a thing for me.
Was machinery intimidating at all?
Well, not really, I guess. I think they had us so psyched up with all this patriotic stuff that we would have been willing to jump off of a 10-story building if that would help the war effort, really. Because I remember we were everybody seemed to feel the same way, pretty psyched up over, you know, your country, and we thought we were doing such a wonderful thing. Which I guess at that time, maybe it was a wonderful thing. I don't know. I certainly couldn't get psyched up over war now, I can tell you that. He just learned a lot. He thought, you know, our country and our lives depended on it, and we would be in such a big help. And people were extremely patriotic. They really were. They used to have big fights in the street over. Friends used to come to blows over who wasn't patriotic enough and this, that, and the other. And like I say, everybody rushed out to join the service, and my girlfriend joined the, she's one of the ones who used to live with us, too. Lucille Willie was her single name. She got married, and I can't remember what her married name is. She joined the Waves? Yeah, because I went up, she was stationed up here in Oakland somewhere, and I went up there to visit her a few times. See, you couldn't get on the base to visit. She had to come to town to see us. Gosh, I'd forgotten all about Lucille and her. And we were so proud of her in that uniform. My goodness. Well, maybe the war ended, and that's how come she, because I don't remember her getting out. I just remember her being in there, and we went up to visit her, maybe two times up there. We rode the train or the bus. We couldn't find a place to stay. I think we slept in the lobby or sat in the lobby at some hotel or in the bus station or the train station, just sit there along with thousands and hundreds of them, I think it was thousands, of other people just sitting there because you couldn't find a place to. You couldn't get into a hotel. It would be, you know, like finding water way out in the desert someplace. I'd forgotten what a terrific problem housing was. I see. It should come back to me. Just, I guess you don't think about it because housing is a terrible problem now. But it was just the same because we know of a family up here in Santa Monica that were sleeping down at the beach in their car because they couldn't. But they had children and they couldn't find a place. They probably did that for about 2 months. That's right here, just recently, last year sometime, right here. And they couldn't find anything that they could get the children in. In fact, I think they solved their problem by sending the children back to Mexico. And then just he and the man and wife could. In fact, and then they went in with some other people that they knew. They rented a bedroom or they shared a home with someone else. But I think that's a terrible thing. But then there's a whole lot of sharing now, but there was a lot of sharing then too. And there was a lot of, defense plants worked around the clock, three shifts. So you had a lot of people using the same apartment. You know, each one had their hours. When they were gone, then the other ones got to use it. And then, because we did that in that little place that we had up Hill Street. Three, four, something Hill Street. They tore it down you walked up with some wooden steps. It was close to that Central Market there on Hill, and it was up there. Or was it? Yeah, it was Hill Street there. There is a Hill Street downtown. Maybe it was Temple anyway. It was up at the top. We were living up there when they had the suit, they used to fire and kill people out in the street. In fact, there was quite a bit of that a lot of times. When we'd come home in the morning, we were working midnight shift then. When we came home in the morning, we'd see, blood on the street and everything. It was pretty frightening. But nothing ever happened to us. We managed to stay out of harm's way, I guess. But there seemed to be a lot of violence around.
That went on a lot?
It did during that particular period, yes.
Do you remember what kind of publicity and stuff was around about the
group suit? Well, it was a lot in the paper, I guess. I really don't. I guess it's just one of those things that I don't remember it being too publicized. Now I really don't. I could be wrong, but I just don't remember it being too publicized. It was sort of an interaction between Latins, and nobody's ever been that interested in what went on, as long as they weren't harming someone else or interfering.
What about conflicts with the American sailors and soldiers?
Well,
I
would say there probably was, but I don't have any personal knowledge or experience with that. We had a lot of my brother and his friends and different ones that were living there, his friends were all in the service, naturally, their family. Would come up to that apartment a lot, but there was never any incidents in that particular spot. Now, I don't know whether we were not in a place where it was blooming the best or not, but I do know that they did have that activity there, because like I say, when we come home in the morning, we see blood on the street, and then somebody tell you, oh, they had a big zoot suit fight out there or something like that. Of course, we were away at work at the time, so who was doing the zoot suit fighting, we never got on to that.
Tell me about the apartment that you all lived in.
Let's see, it was three-story. I think we lived on the third floor. It was a real old wooden building, and we had a French lady for a landlady. She was a manager of it. And she couldn't understand our way of life there, but she never did throw us out. In fact, I guess we lived there. My sister had a baby, and after she had the baby, it was just too crowded. Then we bought this place next door and moved out here to the beach. We used to come to the beach all the time on the weekends. Not all the time. Whenever we were free on the weekends, we came. We just spent most of our time riding that red streetcar down here to the beach. And after we moved down here, nobody was the least bit interested in the beach. Seemed like we just fell away from that. But we used to come down and at that time, you could sleep all night on the beach. Everybody used to bring their blankets and just that. We did that a lot, stay out there all night. And it was the same situation. You couldn't have found a motel or a hotel if you'd look for one. And a lot of people used to do that. In fact, the people living here in Venice used to, when there was a heat wave, everybody just took their blanket and went down to the beach until it was over, just slept down there all night. But you sure couldn't do that now. There's been a lot of changes. But the house was very rickety and very old, and I remember, I'm trying to think of the landlady's name, but it doesn't come to me at all. I mean, she just couldn't understand us at all. And at first, she thought we were doing something immoral because there were so many, the sailors coming to service, men coming in and out, and she finally got to understand that was our family. And my brother, of course, always brought a bunch of his friends. After he got in the service, he brought a bunch of his friends, and then my other brothers were in the service. Of course, they would always come up there when they were in this part of the country, or when they were around before they shipped out. And in between times, well, my youngest brother was in the Navy, so he did get back. He was back and forth, and my second brother was in the Navy. My oldest brother was in the Marines, and he left, and that was it. He stayed. But they did get to come back every once in a while, maybe one or two times. And there was a lot of traffic in and out of that apartment, but she finally got acquainted with us, and she discovered that we were very moral. There wasn't anything that out of the way at all. We were trying to survive during the war.
So it was your family and friends that you were telling me before about the three shifts at the plane.
Yes.
And sharing the beds. And
well, other people that we met, like you would meet at work, and they didn't have a place to stay or something, and they would share it. Somebody came in and was looking, and they would live in yours when you weren't using it until they could find something else. And that went on for a long time before they could find anything else. I don't remember ever, I know somebody took a picture one time. I don't know if we still have that or not. I was sitting in a chair sleeping. So they were laying all over the floor, sitting in chairs. You just wouldn't believe. It looked like some kind of the end of some great big orgy or something. People just lolling all over trying to sleep. But that's the way it was. As I remember, we probably only had one bed, maybe two, but I think it was only one. And you just worked around that. And the bed, you did certain shifts. People got to sleep, actually sleep in a bed, you know. But on the weekends, there were just people sleeping all over the place. You know, they would go out and then come back, and we had a kitchen there, and we would cook and fix most of our own food. I guess some of us were pretty good cooks. We never had enough dishes. I remember people had to wait for the dish. You had to wait until somebody finished and they washed their dish, and then it was your turn because we didn't have to. Well, I don't remember. A lot of stuff you couldn't buy. I do remember that, too. Certain, I guess it was made out of metal or anything. And, of course, our little apartment was probably set up for three people tops, and sometimes there was 18 or 20 in there, so you can see that there were a little problems. But there was a real closeness and a concern that I've not seen since that period in my life. A real concern for other people and a willingness to share. And you weren't afraid of strangers, which nowadays I think more and more you just couldn't go out and meet somebody on the street and bring them into your home because you would have problems. Because I remember one of the girls that was living with us, she finally found a place. Wasn't much of a place either. They had all the beds in one room, or one big hall or something. She got tired of being so crowded. She decided she wanted to have something, you know, some place to put her own things where everybody wouldn't be coming and using them maybe. And I remember she moved in there. You had a little like a, it wasn't even a dresser, it was a little like a nightstand where you could put your things and you had the bed, and that was all. There was another bed right next to you. And I think the first day or night she was there, somebody just cleaned out all her clothes, her money, and everything. So she came back to the crowded thing, but I don't know whether that was common there or whether it was just so open. I don't recall now, but I remember she came on back with us. She decided that was better than... They stole her clothes. I think that was what was real sad, too. I mean, everything. They just took everything. She went to sleep, went to bed, and when she woke up, everything she had was gone. So she came back, and we survived that one, and she lived there in that rat race. It was kind of, it was very hectic. I remember we had time limits for the bathroom, well, we had to, because no one would ever gotten to work on time if we didn't. We used to time, and of course there's always someone that stays longer than their time, but most of the time we sort of had to dress outside. If I remember, we brushed our teeth in the sink, in the kitchen sink, so we wouldn't take that extra time in the bathroom. And I believe we put our makeup on in the kitchen. We got a little mirror there and hung it up someplace. But anyway, it was kind of a very primitive way of surviving. But we all made it just fine.
Did your mom live there as well?
No, my mother was living in New Mexico. No, wait a minute, maybe she was living in Arizona. She was not living in California at that time, though. In fact, I think she was, oh, wait a minute, there's some place in Arizona. Oh, that's right, she and my sister, they got real patriotic and they went to work at a Santa Fe depot, a bus station or something, where they, where the, must have been, had to be the Santa Fe, because the train stopped with the servicemen on it, and they were working in some place where they were supposed to be cooking for them. But they couldn't get over that because all they made, well, maybe not all they made, but the thing that they dwelled on the most was these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Just that my mother couldn't get over how they just slopped them together, and you just put a little dab of jelly in the middle, and that's what they call feeding the troops. You know, that's why we couldn't buy steak or hamburger or anything, because they were feeding the troops, and then you see how the troops are being fed. You wonder what happened to all those T-bone steaks that nobody could buy, and the reason the price was so high. But she was working there at some period during World War II, I can't recall now. I think they stayed there quite a while. But they went there as a, they were recruited on a patriotic, you know, it's your duty to help us serve these servicemen sort of thing. I remember that her telling us that they did that, so. And I don't remember whether she went back to New Mexico or from there she came over here or how it, can I remember when my mother did come here. I had an older sister, too. I had two sisters and three brothers. We saw quite a bit of each other, except my older brother, who was in the Marines. He didn't, like I say, he left and that was it. I think he came back after the war was over. Because after we bought this place and my mother moved over here with us, maybe that's why she didn't come, because she couldn't find a place to stay, which was a real big problem at that time, yes.
Now, who bought the house here? You
my sister and I, yeah. At that time. Yeah, she had a little girl. She must have been about 2 years old when we did that, so we lived in that apartment. Well, I take that back. My sister didn't live there with us all the time, because she went to, I think, she married this sailor, he was from Texas, and I believe she went to Texas for a while. It didn't work out, and then she came back with us, and then they got a divorce, and we moved over here. We moved over here because of the baby, because it was kind of hard to, although she was a real good baby, I remember it didn't disturb her that we had all that commotion day and night there, and people coming and going, and somehow we survived it all.